Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow in thy presence, we thank you for the blessings of the day. We thank you for the hope we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the privilege of service. We ask your blessings now upon us as we study the word together. Help us to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. Help us to rejoice in your great salvation and give us grace to share it with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you about rest now and in the future. I guess this word rest becomes increasingly interesting and encouraging to me as the years go by. But I'd say that as you look around you today, you don't see very much rest. The world is pretty much in turmoil. There's unrest in the world of economics. There's unrest in the area of education. There's unrest in the field of government. And there's unrest in the realm of religion. Certainly there's unrest among nations. This was not true before the entrance of sin. When sin entered, things were put out of balance. Man was no longer at ease or at peace, at rest with God. Even the animal kingdom was put out of balance. But it's encouraging to know that while we live in a world that has a lot of unrest, that you and I can have soul rest. We can have the rest that comes with salvation. In other words, the rest from the burden of sin in salvation. I don't know about you, but before I was saved, there was quite a crushing load of sin's condemnation on my life. And I was certainly far from being at rest. Bible says the wicked people have no rest. Wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But there's peace to those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest comes to people who accept the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, this kind of rest doesn't involve labor. Rather, it involves the cessation of labor, the opposite of labor, a matter of resting, a matter of depending upon God. Hebrews 4:10 says, "For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. And then the words of Jesus I read in the text, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So there's the rest that comes when we accept Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Then there's another kind of rest. There's rest that we have through submission to God and in service to God. I was thinking as I meditated on this message that Israel, for instance, lived in rebellion. Records clear on that. And for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness and complained, and they were restless. Restlessness characterized the journey of Israel. They were unwilling to submit themselves to God. I know that God expects us to learn from Israel so that we might not repeat the mistakes that they made. Now, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me," Jesus said, "for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." I remember when I had rest when I was saved. Unforgettable. But I also remember when I knew, I reached a definite conclusion once and for all, that God had called me to preach. I knew that as well as I knew my name. I'm not proud of it, but I resisted that call for a while. But I was restless and very unhappy. Now, there's rest if we pull with God. But there's not any rest if we pull against him. If we yoke up with him and go the same direction he's going, we can find rest to our souls even in the midst of hard labor. Truth of the matter is, friends, we have more rest doing the will of God than we do resisting the will of God. But I don't think we can really have the rest in labor that we should have unless we have completely rested our case in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Only people who have learned to rest in him have learned to work for him. Working apart from resting is like flowing apart from filling. I once read that the Niagara River has behind it four lakes: Lake Erie and Lake Huron, Lake Michigan, and Lake Superior. In these lakes, there are great volumes of water, great expanse of deep water. Further on down is the plunging Niagara Falls. The river's working and furnishes power to turn wheels and give power and energy to two nations. The river could not do its work, could not run with such power, if it did not have behind it those great waters. There must be a waiting upon God. Inward peace is what gives us rest. Now all of us, even in the midst of difficulty, can have inward peace. Everything being normal, God wants us to have inward peace. In nothing be anxious, we're told, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. Now, I didn't say peace with God. We have that through faith in Jesus Christ. But the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The saint then finds rest in working for the Lord. The dedicated child of God may get tired of the work, but he doesn't get tired in it. He may get tired in the work, but he'll never get tired of the work. Let me put in a word here for rest for preachers. Jesus said on one occasion, you'll find this in Mark 6, 30 and 31. He told his disciples to come apart in the desert place and rest for a while. They were being crowded and rushed from every side. And they needed rest. I know from experience that a pastor needs rest. And let me urge you to see that your pastor gets rest. I believe it's a good investment. I can remember when the church would vote, give me a 2 weeks vacation. Some tight-fisted brother would say, now that means you'll be gone one Sunday. Folk, listen. Remember, pastoring church is hard work. If pastor's what he ought to be every waking hour of the day, he's conscious that he's pastor of a church. He needs rest. Do your best to make that possible. I think it's a good investment. It's right. Then there's rest that comes for the saint. Rest from labor. At death, we need not expect rest until the hour of death. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow after them. I have a brother who's almost 80 in Memorial Hospital, North Little Rock. He's had a light stroke. Now, I guess, if I just be honest with you, I'd rejoice if I got word that Everett had gone on. For so many years, he suffered. I think of some of the preachers that were dear to me that have gone on recently. And as Brother Penn said on one occasion, they've earned the rest they're getting. Blessed are happy are the dead that die in the Lord. Henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they rest from their labors, their works do follow after them. No more weary, weakened, broken body. Death is a release from the body and a going to be with the Lord. There's another kind of rest I'd like to talk about, and that's the rest of the millennium. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. The millennium is a Sabbath, as it were. It'll be a time of rest, golden age of rest. When sin entered, there was a blight, there was a curse upon the earth. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. I don't know exactly what's going to happen during the millennium, but I know that according to the scriptures, there will be bountiful harvests. As Amos 9:13 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth the seed. We're told the desert shall blossom as a rose. So it'll be a time of rest from the curse that was placed upon the earth. It'll be a time of rest from satanic power. You know, Satan's loose right now, my friends. He's loose. He's as a roaring lion going up and down the earth, seeking those whom he may devour. He's on the job, my friend. We have to deal with him. He agitates. He stirs up wars, greed. But Revelation 20 tells us about a time when he'll be bound. That's during the millennium. He won't be loose then. I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, devil and Satan, bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. During the millennium, the devil will not be free to do his dirty work as he is now. He'll be put in the death cell for 1,000 years. There will not be the conflict we have now between labor and capital. There'll not be the conflict between false religion and truth as it is revealed in Jesus Christ. You know why? Babylon will be destroyed, Revelation 17 and 18. And the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. There'll not be tension, conflict among the nations. It is said in Isaiah 2:4, speaking of Jesus, he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. They'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. It'll be a great time of rest. Then, of course, finally, the Bible speaks of eternal rest. The millennium, wonderful as it is not perfect. For it will end in rebellion. But we do have what the Bible speaks of as eternal rest. Eternal rest. Revelation chapter 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. First heaven and first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. I appreciated what Brother Penn said not long ago. I think among the meanings that you may have there is that there'll be no more discontent, trouble. You know, it's rather picturesque description of unrest. When you look at the sea, ever surging backward and forward, never at rest. There'll be no more sea. Whatever else that may mean, I think it means rest, calmness, forever. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. In other words, we'll be living in a land where there won't be anything happen that'll cause people to cry. You know what causes unrest? Sin. Sin's the author of unrest. Had sin not entered, things would have been at peace. But Revelation 21:27 talks about the new heaven and new earth and says that there'll not be anything enter in that'll defile. Neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Sin will never be able to enter that eternal land. We'll have rest, peace, forever. You know, there are three enemies of rest today, if you think of it. There's the wicked world system of which the devil is the head. Brother, that's the reason for a lot of discontent. And then, of course, we know that's going to pass away. The day of the Lord will come as the thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This wicked world system and the works of it is coming to an end. Then, of course, there's the flesh, the old Adamic nature. Always clamoring for the things that it doesn't need. We're going to be free from that. I tell you the situation now in our lives. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. But listen to the promise that's found in 1 John. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Then, of course, there's the devil. You know, we're told that at the end of the millennium, he'd be loosed for a little season. But may I read from Revelation 20 and 10? You want to know the end of the serpent's trail? Here it is. And the devil that deceiveth them is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Well, I have peace with God through Jesus Christ, don't you? And I think in a measure I have the peace of God as I labor in the work of the Lord. Out yonder in the kingdom age is that time of rest. Beyond that is the heaven of heaven ages of eternal rest. I'm in the journey toward a place like that. I'd like to take others with me. I think we ought to. May God help us to rejoice in what we have and share it with others.